The title of my message this morning is, I was once was blind, but now I see, the power of your personal testimony. And Jesus was being criticized by the Pharisees, and in response to the Pharisees who had just called Jesus a sinner, there was a man who had been blind from birth and just healed by Jesus, and he said this about Jesus. He said, you know what? Whether he's a sinner, I don't know. But one thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see. Can I get a witness here this morning, amen? Hadn't quite figured out who Jesus was yet, but he says, I know one thing. I met this man. He touched me. Now I can see. And we'll tell the story here in just a little bit. Lord, we thank you right now that you're God that not only opens up the eyes of the blind, but you open up our spiritual eyes that we might see you in a clearer way. And Lord, this morning I pray as we share from the word, you'll do that again. Let the eyes of our understanding be open so that we could receive from you. And we pray in the name of Jesus. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Hold your Bibles high in the sky and say, this is my Bible, the living and powerful, proven word of God, a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path, God's holy word in which I stand. And having done all, I'm going to stand on the word of God. Whatever the word of God says I am, whatever the word of God says I have, whatever the word of God says I can do, say with me, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Amen. You may be seated. God bless you. This morning, we're going to talk about the power of your personal testimony. By the way, every Sunday during this summer while I'll be on sabbatical, it's going to be a full note Sunday where it's going to be value added. So many great people coming to share the gospel. Next week, Dr. Parnell Lovelace is going to be with us to share the word, and it's going to be just a great, great day of in the word. So today, we're talking about the power of your personal testimony. More than simply sharing your story, a testimony is attesting or proclaiming to something specific that God has done for you. So say with me this morning, a testimony is attesting to what God has done for me in a specific way. So there are so many testimonies in the New Testament, I was just thinking about it, that if we were to list them all, it would take a long, long time, but let me just give you a few. These are people that had an encounter with Christ, and they had a testimony. Just think of all of the testimonies that come to mind from the New Testament. How many know that Mary, the mother of Jesus, had a testimony? Amen? The shepherds, the wise men, Simeon and Anna would have a testimony. How many know that John the Baptist would have a testimony? Amen? Peter's mother-in-law and the lepers who were cleansed and the paralytic who was healed and the 12 apostles who were chosen and the centurion's servant, they'd all have a testimony. How many know that the widow's son would have a testimony and the woman who anointed Jesus' feet with oil, she would have a testimony. The woman at the well would certainly have a testimony. Mary, Martha would have a testimony. How many know that Lazarus would have a big-time testimony? Because he is raised from the dead. And then the woman at the well would have a testimony. The woman with the issue of blood would have a testimony. The 10 lepers would have a testimony. The little children that were brought to Jesus for his blessing would have a testimony. Peter, who first denied Christ 3 times, would have a great testimony. And the Apostle Paul certainly would have a great testimony as well. How many of you know that if all of these have a testimony, God has a testimony for each one of us as well? Can I get a witness? Amen. Now, I want you to take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 9 this morning, because that's where we're going to be, in John chapter 9. And I want to talk about the testimony of the man who was blind from birth and how he was healed. And I want you to read with me this morning. I don't want to read to you, but I want you to read the word with me and then just kind of take the word in this morning. As Jesus went along, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, Rabbi or teacher, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? They had to have a reason. Why is this person blind? In other words, is it something that he did wrong, or was it something his parents did wrong? And Jesus laid both of those arguments to rest, and he said, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but, said Jesus, but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. In other words, he was a miracle waiting to happen. And then Jesus said, as long as it's day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming, and he's referring to the crucifixion. Night is coming when no one can work. And while I'm still in the world, I am the light of the world. Well, after Jesus said this, he spit on the ground, and he made some mud with saliva, and he put it on the man's eyes. And I just love this picture of what he did. He took some clay from the ground, and then he spit on it, and then kind of placed it on the man's eye. Some theologians said that he might have rolled it into the shape of an eye. I don't know. In other words, the same God that created us from dust could certainly create an eye from clay. Can I get a witness? Amen. But however he did it, he put the mud on the man's eyes, rubbed it in there. Maybe he just went away. It just looked like just his eyes were kind of blacked out. And he said, now, I want you to go, and I want you to wash in the pool of Siloam. And there was a pool nearby called Siloam. The word means sent. And I kind of like this because the one who was sent by God now sent him to the pool of Siloam. So he went and he washed and he came home seeing. Say with me, this is about the blind man. He went and he washed and he came home seeing. Now that pool of Siloam, for those of you that will be going to Israel and those of you that have been there already, you'll see the pool of Siloam. It's there today. And you'll see that in Jerusalem. Well, verse 8, his neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging said, isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg? And a lot of times the beggars would sit by the entrance to the temple because there is a concentration of people coming in and they could hold out their hands and try to get something for the day just by begging. And the neighbors and the people had seen him. They said, isn't that the man? And some said that he was, and others said, no, it only looks like him. Have you ever had that happen to you? But he himself insisted. He said, I am the man. The blind man who could now see, he said, no, I'm the man. Now, when were your eyes open? They asked him. The neighbors asked him. And he replied, this man, they called Jesus. They said, how were your eyes open? He says, well, this man, they called Jesus, made some mud. He put it on my eyes. And he told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and I washed. And then I could see. And then they said, well, where is this man that you're talking about? And he says, I don't know. I don't know where he's at. So after this, the neighbors, they brought him to the Pharisees. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had been blind. Now they brought him over to the Pharisees. Say with me this morning, the Pharisees. The Pharisees were very ardent keepers of the Jewish law. And they were also very critical and condescending of Jesus. They wouldn't even call him by his name, Jesus. They'd call him this fellow or whatever. They didn't think that he was the Messiah. They didn't think that he was the Son of God. They thought that it was even blasphemy to have somebody sit at the right hand of God. The Pharisees just didn't think Jesus was who he claimed to be or others claimed for him to be. Look at verse 14. Now, the day on which Jesus made the mud and opened the man's eyes was the Sabbath. Say with me this morning, the Sabbath. Therefore, the Pharisees who asked him how he had received his sight, therefore the Pharisees also asked him how he'd received his sight, and he said, well, he put mud on my eyes. And the man replied, and I was washed, and now I see. And some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath. But others asked, well, how can a sinner perform such signs? So they were divided among themselves. But he says he couldn't be from God because he did this work on the Sabbath. Now, you should know this about the Sabbath. The Sabbath takes place from Friday night until Saturday night in Israel, and it's on Saturday, and it's called Shabbat. Say with me this morning, Shabbat. And so they have Sabbath, and they have celebration. They eat food that's been prepared on another day. They don't do any work on that day. And even work, in other words, is a sin. If you work, it's a sin. So even in hotels all over Israel, on Saturday only, the hotels, all of the elevators that go up to the rooms, they'll be all of the lights will be on, and they'll stop at every floor automatically. They'll go up and they'll go down because you can't press a button because pressing a button on the Sabbath would be doing work. I'm serious. When you go to Israel, you'll see this. Every Saturday, they're all set so you don't have to press a button. So they were serious about Jesus saying, you healed on the Sabbath, and that was a sin. Then they turned again to the blind man, and they said to him, what have you to say about him? It was your eyes that he opened. And the man replied, well, here's what I think. He's a prophet. Say with me this morning, he's a prophet. And I want you to hold that thought for just a moment, hold on to that thought that he said he was a prophet. He really didn't know who he was yet. And they did not believe that he had been blind and that he'd received his sight until they sent for the man's parents. How many know that you can have the blind man right in front of the Pharisees, but if the Pharisees don't want to believe, they're not going to believe no matter what kind of a miracle you do? Jesus even said, a wicked and adulterous nation will look for a sign, but even if I sent them the sign of Jonah, they won't even believe that. They won't believe anything. So how many of that we live and we walk by faith, not by sight? Can I get a witness here this morning? Look at verse 19 now. And they said, is this your son, they asked when they sent for the parents? Is this the one you say was born blind? How is it now that he can see? Well, the parents said this, "We know that he's our son," the parents answered, "and we know that he was born blind." You think they would, right? "But how he can now see or who opened his eyes, we don't know. But why don't you ask him? He's of age and he can speak for himself." Amen? So verse 22, his parents said this because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders who had already decided that anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. Now watch this. The Pharisees were saying, if you confess Christ, we're going to put you out. But put you out means we're going to excommunicate you. You're going to be excommunicated for a short time or a long time or a permanent time. But you're going to be excommunicated. And that was why his parents said, he is of age, ask him. Well, look at verse 24. A second time they summoned the man who had been blind. And they said, give glory to God by telling the truth. And they said, we know this man is a sinner. And now, again, the Pharisees are saying about Jesus, this fellow, they won't even call him Jesus. He says, we know that he's a sinner. And then the blind man replied, he said, whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. But one thing I do, I once was blind, but now I see. Say with me this morning, I was blind, but now I see. I don't have it all figured out yet, but I'm healed. Then they asked him, well, what did he do to you? And how did he open your eyes? So he goes like, man, I've heard this question before. He said, I've told you already and you did not listen. And then he said this, why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too? I put a little smiley face by that. Then the Pharisees got upset and they hurled insults at him and they said, you are this fellow's disciple. We are disciples of Moses. They claimed that Moses was the deliverer and God would send another deliverer, but it wasn't this one right here. If the Pharisees really knew, they should have known the scripture that said another one like Moses is going to be coming. In fact, the Bible says in Deuteronomy and Acts, it says, for Moses truly said to the fathers, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. Him you shall hear in all things, and whatever he says, you shall do. And he's referring to Jesus, who would be the great deliverer. Can I get a witness here this morning? Amen? Now, I think I ran out of notes. But I'm not out of message, so I don't know where they went. Oh, don't clap now. It's pretty good. Here, I'll do it without notes, okay? Yeah, right there. I got it, yeah. I just got to go to verse 29. It's a congregation's dream when you run out of notes. Amen. Verse 29. We know that God spoke to Moses, but as for this fellow, we don't even know where he comes from. And the man answered, now that's really remarkable. You don't know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. And you guys are the experts. So they said, well, we do know that God doesn't listen to sinners. He listens to the godly person who does his will. Now, watch this. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but he listens to godly persons who does his will. This is the blind man is talking now. Now, if this man were not from God, he could do nothing. Look at verse 32. Pardon me. Nobody has ever heard of opening of eyes of a blind man before. In other words, nobody has ever heard of opening the eyes of a blind man before. This is really interesting. In the Old Testament, there is not one instance of a blind man being healed of his blindness in the Old Testament. I didn't know that before I studied this text out, but there isn't any instance in the Old Testament of a blind man being healed. So that's why he said nobody's ever heard of a miracle like this taking place. How many know that God can do a miracle that nobody else has ever heard of happening before? Amen? And he can still do that. Amen? So he said this, if this man were not from God, he could do nothing. And to this they replied, well, you were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us? And then they threw him out. They threw him out and said, you're going to be excommunicated from us. Now, Jesus heard that they had thrown him out. And when he found him, he said, do you believe in the Son of Man? Say with me this morning, do you believe in the Son of Man? The Son of Man was one of the titles that Jesus used most often when referring to himself. He called himself the Son of Man. Say it with me this morning, the Son of Man. it referred to him, it referred to his virgin birth, but it also referred to his humanity. He was a son of man. He came down to this earth just to be just like us. But Jesus would often refer to himself as the son of man, not the son of God, but the son of man. So this refers to his humanity, and the son of God, that title refers to his divinity. There's so many different names of Jesus, but this referred greatly to his humanity. And then the man that was talking to Jesus, he said, he didn't even know who he was really talking to. He said, "Who is he, sir?" the man asked. And he says, "Tell me that I might believe in him too." So Jesus said, "You have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you." He was in the presence of Jesus again, didn't quite know it, but then all of a sudden his eyes of his understanding were open. And then look at verse 38. Then the man said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshiped him. Say with me this morning, "Lord, I believe." And then he worshiped him. Now watch this. The man who had just been healed of blindness by Jesus went from seeing Jesus as a prophet to seeing Jesus as Lord. Can I get a witness here? Not just a prophet or just a teacher, but he moved. When he saw Jesus and he had an encounter with Christ, he moved from seeing him as simply a prophet to seeing Jesus as Lord. And when you have an encounter with Christ, you're going to see Jesus in a new and different way. Why? Because the eyes of your understanding will have been opened. Hallelujah. Jesus not only changes how you see physically, Jesus changes how you see spiritually, and that's the most important change of all. Give the Lord great praise this morning. Would you do that? Amen? Hallelujah. So this blind man who got thrown out of the temple, he walked away from religion, but he walked into a relationship with Jesus Christ. And that makes all of the difference in the world. When you have an encounter with Christ, what was once blind to you, you'll now see. Can I get a witness here this morning? Amen. Speaking of change, let me just ask you this morning, how many of you, your lives have been changed by the power of Christ? Amen. And say with me this morning, not only has he changed me, but he is changing me. Can I get a witness here this morning? How many of you believe that God's not finished with you yet? Amen. How many of you believe that there's some chips on the old block that still need some work? Can I get a witness? Amen. But he's not giving up on you. He who's begun a good work in you is going to see it through to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. And all of God's people said amen. Speaking of change, I want to just introduce a friend of mine who Jesus has not only changed, but he's someone that Jesus is continuing to change. His name is Kendrick Daniels. And Kendrick and his wife, Cheryl, and their three beautiful children attend Harvest Church. And they've been such a blessing here. I met Kendrick probably, I don't know, about 4 years ago. He'd come in and out of Starbucks. We'd say hi. And he was a little bit guarded. But there was a reason why I was a little bit guarded. And probably because I was a preacher. But I'll tell you, over the years, got to know one another. He's going to tell you a little bit of a story. But again, your testimony is attesting to what God has done in your life in some kind of a specific way. And Kendrick is coming to share his testimony right now. And would you give him a hand as he comes? Would you do that?
All right. Pastor Perry took all his notes. The last little story, the reason why he didn't have his notes is because when I was up here for the 8 a.m., I took my stuff and I took his stuff with me. So you're welcome, Pastor. How's everybody doing? Good morning. My name is Kendrick. Before I get started, I'd like to just start with prayer. Is everybody okay with that? All right. So, Father God, I ask as I share my testimony up here, God, that the people here that you have blessed, that they see me, that they see you, Lord, that they see you through me, so that I may be unseen and that you be seen. And, Lord, I pray that the testimony I share today really helps somebody know that they are not alone in this fight and that you love them, they are loved, and that they will be able to overcome. And whatever they're going through will be a powerful testimony to bless someone else, too. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. So a little bit about me, guys, just so you guys know, I'm kind of the guy that likes to blend in to the crowd, likes to kind of hang back, not really be too much center stage. However, I don't blend in too well because I'm 6'2", 200 pounds, and I have crazy hair and three insane children that are running around all over the place. So I kind of stand out. But, you know, joke's on me. But a little bit about me, guys. I'm from Sacramento, grew up in this area, from South Sac, Franklin, South Sac. Okay, somebody's clapping there, represent. Grew up the G Parkway area, Franklin Vila area, and then ended up moving to Elk Grove more towards my high school year. Graduated Laguna Creek High School, okay, alma mater there. So this is my hometown here, guys. And so what I want to share with you guys a little bit with my testimony is my experience with church. I wasn't always coming to church. Like Pastor Perry said, I was a little bit guarded. He's right, because he is a pastor. Not that I didn't like him. It was just that I didn't know whether he was going to pray a blessing over me or convict me. And he kind of did both over the years. But the reason why, guys, and a little bit of my background is when I, you know, coming up as a kid, I went to a Catholic elementary school. Parents wanted to pay for me to get a good education, and so I went to Catholic elementary school, but I wasn't Catholic. So what that meant was is I spent a whole lot of time sitting and watching my friends go up and receive the body of Christ, drink the blood, do communion and all that, and I kind of just sat. So I felt like an outsider. I was stuck in my own feelings, though. And then when I went to church that my family brought me in, the church that I was baptized in, I felt like it was all day long for me. Again, stuck in my feelings, but I went to church at 9 a.m. and we didn't get home till 2 o'clock. So I was basically lasting the whole day off of Eggo waffles or whatever cereal I ate in the morning. And I always knew Sundays my dad would cook a huge breakfast, but we wouldn't eat breakfast until 2 o'clock. So all I kept thinking was, I'm hungry, I can't wait, this is over, all I want to do is eat right now. So that's been my experience with church. So when I actually got old enough to where I could make my own decisions, I went away to school and I decided, you know, Sundays are for football and hanging out and chilling. I'm not going to go to church. So I stopped going. And then, you know, as I start to grow in my adult life, you know, I came back home after college and I started to get into fitness, into health. So some of you may recognize me. I worked at 24 Hour Fitness as a personal trainer for about 8 years. So I got really into fitness and health. So I really started to get into, like, you know, changing my body, you know, working on my strength, working on my performance. And so, but all in all, guys, you know, God, I always knew God was there. I always knew Jesus was there. But like Pastor was saying, I was blind to it. I didn't really allow him into my heart. See, I thought I can handle it all. I don't know if anybody out there has experienced this, but I felt like I can handle it all. I'm a grown man. I could do this. Let me just go hit the weights a little bit harder. Let me just go run a little bit, you know, faster. Let me train a little bit harder. I can handle this. I can handle this thing called life. And then I met my beautiful wife, Sherelle Daniels over there, okay? She's gorgeous, y'all. Absolutely love my wife. She's a special ed teacher, and she married a special ed husband. But I met my beautiful wife, guys, and then that's when things started to really surface for me. See, a little bit of my childhood is I grew up in kind of the marriage my parents had was not like the best marriage. There was a lot of turmoil, a lot of strife, a lot of hurt, a lot of pain that we watched, and then they got divorced at 12 years old. So I had all this anger and stuff that I was dealing with that I was like, I'm cool, I'm good, you know, I can handle it, I'm good, let's just lift more weights. Until I had to deal with, anybody ever to deal with an argument with your wife and you ain't centered with yourself? That's a tough conversation. And then, going through all that, we had 3 beautiful blessings. Hey! I got Kyle over there. She's my artist, my singer, my poet. I got Kira. She's my fighter. Don't mess with that one. She's feisty. Okay, but she got all I love. And then I got Lorenzo, who is my Ninja Turtle Power Ranger. Okay? So now, dealing with the emotions of being a husband, having to figure that all out, now I had to deal with the emotions of being a father. And without having that base of Christ in my life, that was a crazy whirlwind experience. I always knew not to put my hands on a woman, but I sure would put my hands through a wall. I would break chairs. I broke a drawer that we keep our silverware in. I didn't tell my wife that yet, but she probably figured it out. That drawer's broken. But there was a whole lot of things that, because I didn't deal with my emotions, again, I was trying to take on life myself. I thought that I was this big, strong man that can handle it. Anything that come my way is cool. I don't need anything else. I don't need anybody else. I can handle this. So in 2014, we opened our own, we actually opened a wellness center up right down the street where we taught people healthy eating habits. We had exercise. We had, you know, classes and things to really support people to get healthy. And we kept driving past Harvest Church. So my wife is in my ear. We need to go to church. We need a foundation. We need to go to church. I'm not hearing it. Church is for Sundays is for football. Sundays is for chilling. Okay. I work all week. You go to church. She kept in my ear. And then I started to work with my Auntie Deborah. And she's going to be here in one of the services. I started to work with her and helping her. And I was doing personal development, reading books, really working on my mindset. And I was coaching her. And she was like, you know, son, you very inspirational. You speak very well. You know, your heart's in the right place to help people. What are you doing for your spiritual health? Where are you going to get, you know, how is Jesus in your life right now? How are you working on that? How are you strengthening yourself with that? So I really didn't have an answer. She was like, son, if you don't have something that's going to root you, something that's going to have your faith, something that's going to ground you, the wind's going to blow you away. I don't care how strong you are, how much you work on your mindset. So I kind of just took that as, okay, well, you're just grilling me like my wife grilling me, okay? So I kept receiving this. Finally, I was like, okay, fine, we'll go to church. So I came to church, guys, no joke. I sat in the back and I crossed my hands. I said, go ahead, let's let them preach so I can get out of here and I can go eat some food. Okay, so I did that for a couple of services. My wife asked me, you know, how did you receive the message? How did things go? I said, I'm just going because you want me to go. And I was honest. She wasn't happy with that answer. That created other fights, but it's all good. So finally, there was one service I came here, and I don't know what was said or what the topic was or what we were talking about, but all I knew is that it got me, and I was crying like a baby, like something broke inside of me. And the pastor had an altar call. He says, if you want to accept Jesus into your life or you want to rededicate your life to Jesus, come forward. And I came forward. And it was something happened there, guys. And again, I don't remember what exactly we were talking about, but I heard Jesus speaking to me. I heard a voice talking to me. It says, son, you don't have to carry that load anymore. You don't have to carry it. Just give it to me. My son died on the cross for you. He already did it. So just give it up to me. So I gave it up. Okay, I let all that go. There was a release. And then I got plugged in, guys. This church is filled with amazing people who have their testimonies. If you've heard the testimonies of people who have been in this church, they have gone through the fire and back and are still praising the Lord, are still standing strong. Yes. I got plugged into the family and marriage ministry. They saved our marriage. I'm no joke. They just hearing the different things, the testimonies and things that people are fighting through and how they use faith to fight together, not against one another. My children got involved in the children's ministries. They love coming to church. That was foreign to me. I thought church was boring for kids. That was my experience. They love coming to church. They love being around their friends. My wife is singing, praising the Lord in front of everybody here. It's just been life-changing. So I went to men's retreat last weekend, and I heard something really powerful that I will share with you guys. It was Revelations 12:11. Said, they triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. So the pastor said there's two major things that are going to help you win against the enemy. Because let's keep it real. Every single one of you in here is in a fight daily with the enemy. It's real. Okay, there's two major things that will help you win the battle every single time. One is the blood of the Lamb. Jesus already died on the cross for you. It's done. You already been saved from your sins. Okay, so that's number one. Number two is the power of the testimony. So it's hearing testimonies and sharing your testimonies of what God's done in your life and how you've been able to win over battles is not only going to change you, but it's going to help changing the people that you're sharing it with as well. So what I share with you today is, you guys, your story matters, okay? What you go through matters. And another thing that really connected with me with Pastor Perry, he said, the man was blind from birth. It had nothing to do with the sins of his mother or sins of his father. It had everything to do with what he put that man through was meant to be a blessing to the people around him. So I know the things that I went through as a child had nothing to do with my mother or my father, nothing to do with anything they did wrong. It had everything to do with it all leading up to this point right now, being able to be a blessing to everybody, share the story that I have, so then that way somebody can connect to it and be a blessing to someone else as well. So I urge you guys, as I close here today, I urge you, everybody has a powerful story. Share it, okay? Because there's somebody who really can utilize, you know, that, hear that, have that hope, okay? But you gotta let Jesus into your heart first. I kind of knew what Jesus was, but when he got into my heart, it completely changed everything. And if you're still working on allowing Jesus into your heart, or you're still working on allowing those walls to come down, there are people here that will pray with you, that will walk with you, And you can do it in your time, but they're here for you. So then that way you can allow Jesus in your life. So then that way your life may be blessed so you can be a blessing to everyone else. Okay? I share up here today, guys, saying I am a blessed man. I'm still a work in progress. I don't know where God's taking me, but I'm extremely excited to be here in front of you today to share my testimony. And thank you for your time. All right.
Thanks a lot. Amen. Thank you, Lord God. How many know that the man who was blind and Jesus healed him, how many know that he had a testimony for life? And God does all kinds of things in our lives, but man, sometimes he'll bless you in such a great way, you've got a testimony for the rest of your life. Say with me this morning, I once was blind, but now I see.